From the Love We're Finding studios in Memphis, Tennessee, I'm Byron Tyler, here with the CEO of Love We're Finding, Carrie Vaughn. Carrie, today Adrian Rogers picks up part two in a message, The New World Order. We encourage our friends to take their Bibles in Acts chapter 15, verses 13 through 18. You know, God has a plan for this world, the church, the Jew, and the Gentile. You know, right now, though, the church is out of her rightful place.
That's true, and I love the title of this sermon, The New World Order, because it's all lining up in order. Is it not? I mean, we see here that things are happening and things are taking place, and I love the fact that he talks about when he prophesied that Israel's disobedience and dispersion and disgrace, but he also prophesied that they would have resolve and they would return. And so it's just neat to know that everything is in God's order, and it's in the new world order.
Well, there is no world order until the king is on the throne. Jesus is the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and soon his will be done on earth as it is in heaven.
Amen. Amen. And that, it talks about that in Matthew chapter 6, how we should pray, you know, Father God, your will be done. And I think we see that taking place. And I think this is a wonderful message. Part two, by the way, out of Acts 15. Take advantage of it.
Well, we always love hearing from our listeners. Wherever you are, please let us hear from you. We have a listener from California who says, I'm a Christian in my 80s, and I am still encouraged by Dr. Rogers' messages every time I hear them. He always teaches from God's holy word. Thank you, LWF.
You know, Byron, I was a believer for 20 years. And when I started listening to the ministry and message of Adrian Rogers, it was like somebody turned the light on for the first time. And I just couldn't get enough of it. I was like a sponge. And I think when we listen to that response, that's exactly what they're saying, right? I'm in my 80s or I'm younger. It doesn't matter. It's for the first time I understand the Word of God.
Well, you know,
that is the ministry of Love Worth Finding.
Well, you know, recently we had Dr. Mark Castellaw as a guest on our Conversations That Matter program that airs Tuesday night, 7 o'clock. We have a different guest and come in and talk. And recently he said on the program, when we asked him, what did Adrian Rogers' ministry mean most? And he said, I was a brand new believer just out of medical school.
Yes.
And we started coming to Bellevue to hear Adrian Rogers preach. And there was three morning services, and we stayed for all three of them.
and I'll say this, as the CEO of Love Worth Finding, Adrian Rogers taught me the Bible. And so I think when you hear messages like the New World Order, it's just a wonderful encouragement and a great discipleship piece. Be sure to take advantage of it.
Well, in addition, Carrie, we have a resource that's available on our website. It's this month's special offer, His Story Book, and it's a great way for people to learn more about Jesus.
Well, it is, and it lines up with this sermon, The New World Order. Everything is kind of playing out, right? So when you read the book, it talks about from the cradle to the cross to the crown, a wonderful piece, and you'll not only want to buy one for yourself, but also for somebody else.
Well, with part two of the New World Order message, here's Adrian Rogers.
Not only is the church out of place, but Israel, the people, are out of place. You see, not only does the bride belong by her groom's side, but Israel, the rightful owner of the land of Israel, belongs in the land. The owner belongs in the land. Now, let me tell you this about the world also. There will never be world order until Israel is restored to her land and there is peace in Jerusalem. Now, what is happening in Jerusalem right now is what the Bible has prophesied would happen. The Bible prophesied and does prophesy that in the last days, Jerusalem will be the international hot spot. Now, folks, remember this. God is not finished with the Jewish nation. They are still the chosen people. And God says He's going to take the church out. He's going to take the church out. And after He takes the church out, He's going to return and build again the tabernacle of David. God is not finished with the Jew. And Jesus is still the Jewish Messiah. Israel, what we call the Holy Land, is still their rightful land. The Jews have been scattered far and wide around and across the earth. but God has a plan for the Jew. Known unto God are His works from the beginning of the creation. Now let me tell you, not only God's plan for the church, but what is God's plan for Israel? We don't have to guess about it. God gave the land of Israel to Abraham and to his descendants. Put these verses down. Genesis chapter 17 and verse 8. God is speaking to Abraham, the father of the faithful. And God says, "And I will give unto thee and to thy seed after thee." Now the word seed means your children, your descendants, your progeny, your heirs. "And I will give unto thee and to thy seed after thee the land wherein thou art a stranger, all the land of Canaan, for an everlasting possession." Now God didn't say, "I'm going to give it to you and then take it back." He said, "I'm giving all the land of Canaan, Abraham, I'm giving it to you and to your descendancy for an everlasting possession, and I will be their God." Now God made this promise to Abraham. Abraham had a son whose name was Isaac, and God confirmed the promise to Isaac. Here's what God said to Isaac in Genesis chapter 26, verses 3 and 4. God is speaking to Isaac, and God says, "Sojourn in this land, and I will be with thee, and I will bless thee," that is Isaac, "for unto thee and unto thy seed I will give all these countries, and I will perform the oath which I swear unto Abraham thy father." Now God gave this land to Isaac, and he swore with an oath to Abraham that it would be given from Abraham to Isaac and to their descendancy. Now God continued the promise through a son of Isaac whose name was Jacob, and not to Esau but to Jacob. Put these scriptures down, Genesis chapter 28 verses 13 and 14. And the Lord is speaking now to Jacob, and behold, the Lord stood above it and said, "I am the Lord God of Abraham thy father and the God of Isaac. The land wherein thou liest to thee will I give it, and to thy seed." Now he's talking to Jacob, who later becomes Israel, the father of the 12 tribes of Israel. "And thy seed shall be as the dust of the earth, and thou shalt spread abroad to the west and to the east and to the north and to the south, and in thee." Now he's talking to Jacob, "and in thee and in thy seed shall all the families of the earth be blessed." Now folks, it could not be more plain. God has given that land that we call the Holy Land to the Jew. God gave it to Abraham and to Isaac and to Jacob and to their descendants, and God said to 1,000 generations, it is an everlasting covenant. But God said there would be some problems with His people, the Jew. And you want to know why we have this present chaos? Why this so-called world order never comes to order? Because the Jew is out of place, and they've been dispossessed from a great deal of the land that God gave to Abraham, and God prophesied it would happen. God says, first of all, that they're going to disobey me. Put these scriptures down, Ezekiel chapter 36 and verse 17. "Son of man, when the house of Israel dwelt in their own land, they defiled it by their own way." They were in their land, but they defiled it, "and by their doings, their way was before me as the uncleanness of a removed woman." And God is saying the way they lived was repugnant to me. And God said because of their disobedience, they will be dispersed. God said they shed innocent blood and I judged them. And that's the same reason God's going to judge America, unless we repent. So what's happened? They disobeyed. God said, "I dispersed them, I scattered them, I judged them." And then God said they would be disgraced. We continue to read in Ezekiel 36 verse 20. "And when they entered into the heathen, unto the heathen whither they went, they profaned my holy name. When they said to them, these are the people of the Lord and are gone forth out of His land." They were the chosen people, but they were a disgrace to God, and they profaned the name of God as they went out. But God says there is going to come a miracle for the Jew. God has resolved that He's going to bring them back into the land. Continue in Ezekiel chapter 36 verse 21. "But I had pity for mine holy name." Now God is concerned with His own honor, and God has made a covenant. So God says, "But I had pity for mine holy name, which the house of Israel had profaned among the heathen, whither they went. Therefore say unto the house of Israel, thus saith the Lord God, I do not this for your sakes, O house of Israel, but for my holy name's sake, which ye have profaned among the heathen, whither ye went. And I will sanctify my great name, which was profaned among the heathen, which ye have profaned in the midst of them, and the heathen shall know that I am the Lord, saith the Lord God, when I shall be sanctified in you before their eyes. Did you know that one of the great revivals is going to come to the world when people see what God does with the Jew and with the land of Israel? And I believe we're on the threshold that God says, for my name's sake, I am going to be sanctified, I'm going to be glorified, and the heathen are going to see what I do. And so what is God going to do? Well, not only does God resolve, but God says they're going to return. But God not only says they're going to return, but God says there's coming a day in which they will look upon the Lord Jesus Christ as their Messiah. They will be spiritually born again. Notice again in the same passage in Ezekiel chapter 36, now in verse 25 and 27, and I will sprinkle clean water upon you, and ye shall be clean. From all your filthiness and from all your idols I will cleanse you. A new heart also will I give you, and a new spirit will I put within you. And I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh, and I will give you a heart of flesh, and I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes, and ye shall keep my judgments and do them. Don't let anybody tell you, precious friend, that God is finished with Israel. He is not. God says he's going to take out the church as a people for his name, and the bride will be with the groom. God says, I will return and I will build again the tabernacle of David. God says, I'm going to take away the stony heart. I'm going to put in them a heart of flesh. Now here's what the Bible says in the New Testament concerning this. Romans chapter 11, verses 25 and 26. The apostle Paul is speaking, and this is what he says. For I would not, brethren, that ye should be ignorant of this mystery, lest ye should be wise in your own conceits. Now he's talking to Gentiles. He said, Gentiles, don't be dumb and don't be boastful. Don't be ignorant. Don't be wise in your own conceits, that blindness in part has happened to Israel. Now some wonderful Christians are Jews, and some precious Jews are Christians. But blindness in part has happened to Israel. And when you talk to a Jewish friend and try to share Jesus, the Messiah, with them, they don't see it. And they're not lying when they say they don't see it. They don't see it. Blindness in part has happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles become in. There is coming a time when the fullness of the Gentiles will come in. That is, when the last soul in the church has been saved and God has finished with his plan with the Gentiles. The world order that you see today is destined to failure because of the problem of Jerusalem. Jerusalem is the capital city of Israel. God has made it so. It is the city of peace. However, the Arab nations and the Islamic faith says that Jerusalem belongs to us. The Jews say it is God's gift to us. God gave it to Abraham. God confirmed the gift through Isaac. He confirmed the gift through Jacob, and it is an everlasting possession. So what are we to do? We are commanded to pray for the peace of Jerusalem. There won't be peace on earth. There will never be a world order until there's peace in Jerusalem. I love the Jewish people. Some of the finest friends that I have are Jews. They do not know Christ as Messiah and Lord, but they are precious, wonderful, magnificent individuals. And I enjoy fellowship with them on the plane that human beings can enjoy fellowship together. Jeremiah chapter 31 and verse 3. The Lord hath appeared of old unto me, saying, yea, I have loved thee with an everlasting love. He's talking to Israel now. Therefore, with loving kindness have I drawn thee. And friend, you ought to love what God loves. We are to pray for the salvation of Jewish people. Romans 10, verse 1, the apostle Paul said, brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. Now, the reason there will not be a proper world order, there will be no order until the bride is by the groom's side and until the owner is back in the land, possessing the land. We are indebted to the Jews for the Bible. We are indebted to the Jews for the Savior. we are really indebted to the Jews from a human viewpoint for our salvation. Because John chapter 4 verse 22 says, for salvation is of the Jews. It is from and through the Jews that we have received the Word of God and we have received the Messiah. Of course, ultimately, we have received that from the Lord. Now let me tell you a third reason that we're not going to have a world order until the things that are out of place get in place. The bride is out of place, that's the church. She belongs with the bridegroom. The owner is out of place, the Jew, he belongs in his land. Satan is out of place because the criminal belongs in prison. You see, the Bible teaches right now that Satan is roaming this earth. Now, we have a school of prophecy called amillennialism that says that Satan is already chained. Well, friend, if he's chained, he's got a mighty long chain around his neck. I want you to know this. The Bible says in 1 John chapter 5, verse 19, and we know that we are of God, and the whole world lieth in wickedness. But the word wickedness, may with a masculine ending, I may be translated, the whole world lies in the wicked one. And the word lieth means it is cuddled in the bosom of Satan. Satan has this world in his arms. And the spirit of Satan is at work through the people of this world. You're never going to get order out of this world as long as Satan's spirit is working. Put this verse down. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 2. Paul is talking to the church at Ephesus and he describes them this way. Wherein in time past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. What is wrong with the people of this world? They are possessed with the spirit of Satan. The world stumbles in darkness, and this darkness has been orchestrated by the prince of darkness and the prince of confusion, who is Satan himself. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 4, the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them that believe not. But Satan is not always going to have the run of this world. There's coming a time when he's going to be cast where he belongs, in prison. Now, I hear people talk about the devil in hell, but the devil is not in hell. The devil is the prince of the power of the air. He will be put in hell. But there is no world order until the criminal is put in prison. He needs to be taken off the streets and put in the prison. Now, the Bible talks about that time when Satan will be cast into the pit, into prison. And all of those who follow him will be cast in there with him. You say, well, that sounds cruel. Well, don't listen to me, listen to Jesus. Matthew 25, verse 41. Then shall he say also unto them on the left hand, depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels. Now, you don't have to go to hell if you don't want to. As a matter of fact, if you do go to hell, you'll be an intruder. Hell was not even prepared for you. It was prepared for the devil and his angels. But there will be no world order until the bride is with the groom. There will be no world order until the owner is in his land. There will be no world order until the criminal is in prison. Now, there's one fourth thing I want to say, and then I'll be finished, as we're talking about a Christian worldview. There will be no world order until the king is on the throne. Now, Jesus is the King of kings and Lord of lords. In this world, there's no room for the Lord Jesus Christ. He is an outcast. He's an outcast in government. Jesus is an outcast in education. He's an outcast in society. And man has enthroned and enshrined himself in a material kingdom. We're working for a millennium, but it's pandemonium because the king is not on his throne. People don't want Jesus to rule over them. Listen to these verses. I ponder Psalm 2 many, many times. I've scribbled so much on it in my Bible that I can hardly read the original words. But Psalm 2 speaks of a time when the king is going to be put on his throne. The Bible says in verse 4 concerning our Lord, he that sitteth in the heavens shall laugh. The Lord shall have them in derision. Then shall he speak unto them in his wrath. Now, when he speaks in his wrath, that's talking about the great tribulation and the battle of Armageddon. Then shall he speak unto them in his wrath and vex them in his sore displeasure. And then verse 6 says this, and I have it circled in my Bible, yet. Now this is God speaking. Yet have I set my king upon my holy hill of Zion. Now the king is not yet there, but God says, I'm going to put my king upon my holy hill. And I love the word yet. And it means yet in spite of the ranting of the atheist, the scorn of the humanist, the ignorance of men, and the scheming of Satan, all that they can do, yet God is going to put His king upon His holy hill. And you know, the kingdoms of this world are being moved around like checkers, but soon God's going to move His son into king's row and say, crown him. And he'll be king in Zion. And I'm so pleased with that. I can hardly wait. You ought to be looking forward to that time. You know, you have been looking forward to it and maybe never even really thought about it. How many times have we prayed as Jesus taught us to pray in Matthew chapter 6 and verse 10, Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done where? On earth as it is in heaven. Question, has that prayer ever been answered? Do you think God's will is being done on earth today? Look around at the dope, the crime, the rape, the murder, the child abuse, the blasphemy. Do you think that's God's will? Do you think God's will is being done on earth as it is in heaven? Of course not. I want to ask you another question. Do you think it will be? Of course. Do you think Jesus Christ would have had us to pray, Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven, if He never meant to answer that prayer? Do you think He would have taught us to pray a prayer that will not be answered? I tell you, God says, I am going to put my king upon my holy hill in Zion. He's going to move him into king's row and say, crown him king. Friend, the bride belongs with the groom. The owner belongs in the land. The criminal belongs in prison. And the king belongs on the throne. Don't you agree? And soon, and very soon, we're going to see that happen. I can hardly wait for that. Then, folks, you're going to have a new world order when the king is on his throne. Now, you know, there are a lot of people who don't agree with what I've said tonight. And there are people who just would take exception from every one of these 4 points in this message tonight. I was reading a while back when Babe Ruth, the king of SWAT, the most famous baseball player ever lived, was in his very zenith. He was in a park that was filled with people. He came to bat. The first pitch came over and he never swung. The umpire said, strike. The next pitch came over and the Bambino swung and he missed it. Strike two. The third pitch came over. He never swung. The umpire said, strike three. You're out. And the Babe turned around and looked at him and he said, there are 40,000 people in these stands who would say that was a ball. And the umpire said, yes, but he said, mine is the only opinion that counts. And friend, you know, no matter what the people of this world have to say, there's one whose opinion counts, and it's His word that we've been reading from. And I cannot wait for the time until our Lord comes, and we are going to have a new world order when the church and Israel and Satan and Jesus are in their rightful place. And Jesus shall reign where the sun doth His successive journeys run, His kingdom spread from shore to shore, till moons shall wax and wane no more. Folks, it has a good ending, and we're on the winning side.
What a beautiful truth to cling to as the days grow gloriously dark. We are on the winning side. Now, if you have questions about who Jesus is, what He means to you, how to begin a relationship with God, go to our Discover Jesus page at lwf.org/radio. You'll find resources there and materials that will answer questions you may have about your faith. Just go to lwf.org/radio and click Discover Jesus. Well, thanks for studying God's Word with us today. Hold fast to the powerful words of encouragement from Adrian Rogers. Jesus is the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Soon His will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Pray for those who may not know the Lord and tell them. And be sure to join us next time for more profound truth simply stated right here on Love Worth Finding.